Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so glad to have you here, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For this is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Thank you for joining us this evening, as our topic today is walking in the shoes of Paul. From persecutor to more than a conqueror. Our foundational text tonight will be from Philippians, the third chapter, the first through the 11th verses. And for those who are joining us, it's now time for our devotion. We'd like to have Dr. Nooks read the scripture, and I will do the prayer. And we'll have a song from Johnny Dion Goff.
I owe it all to you. I owe it all to you. You're my Savior. You're my guide. I owe it all to you. I owe it all to you. I owe it all to you. You're my Savior, you're my guide. I owe it all to you. Hallelujah. When in trouble, I will lay my head upon thee, sick and weary, broken hearted, I will lay my head upon thee. I give it. I give it all to you. All of my worship, all of my praise, I give it all to you.
Amen. I give it all to you.
Our text is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. And it reads like this. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray that I do not burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I am not lying. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas kept guards at the city gates to catch me. I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him. God adds a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word.
Amen. Lord, we come before you right now. We want to praise you and glorify your name, for, Lord, we owe it all to you. Lord, if it wasn't for you waking us up this morning and touching us with your finger of love, we wouldn't even be here. So we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to praise you, to worship you, to hear your word, to glean from it, to help one another understand the scriptures, and to join with our radio audience in praising and worshiping you this day. Thank you, O God, for we owe it all to you, because you loved us enough to help us to learn how to walk in the shoes of Paul. Thank you, Lord, and we ask tonight that you would open our spiritual eyes so that we can see and understand your word, not only that we might have cognitive understanding, but that we might live it out in our daily lives. We glorify you. We magnify your name with our lives. We ask this now. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say amen.
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 God has been so good to us. And we really want to just to praise God tonight, because we're excited to be here on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study as we're dealing with the topic, Walking in the Shoes of Paul, From Persecutor to More Than a Conqueror. Our foundational text tonight is Philippians 3:1-11. But as you know, on September the 6th, our first lesson, we talked about Paul as persecutor. Why was Paul persecuting Christians? What was he doing and why was he doing it? We dealt with this in the book of Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. And then last week, our second lesson in the month, we talked about Paul's Damascus Road experience and what that meant to us and what that means to us today when you and I have a Damascus Road experience, how we move from being enemies of God to being on God's team and then functioning as a conqueror in our own personal lives, as we dealt with Acts, the 21st chapter, the 39th and the 22nd chapter, the 29th verse. But tonight, Dr. Nooks has led us to another place. We're going to look at what it means to be persecuted. Lord have mercy. Paul the persecuted. And we're looking at the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and the 16th through the 40th verses. Dr. Nooks, if you're ready to begin this lesson, we have 5 people on the line. We are ready to go. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. And we're talking about walking in the shoes of Paul because we want people to understand how people can go from being the persecuted to being the persecutor and then to being more than conquerors. And I'm sure we have people on the line that maybe have not had a strong relationship with Christ, and maybe they can relate to some of the things that Paul went through, some of the steps. But tonight we want to talk about Paul the persecuted. And we read in the opening scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about the things that he endured in his persecution. But we want to start our discussion tonight about why Paul was persecuted. And to that end, I'd like to go, who do we have on the line, first of all? Let's kind of get a roll call.
My name is Black Gladiator. I'm calling from out of Washington, D.C., on behalf of the Commonwealth of Israel.
Praise God.
Praise God. Is it okay if I ask the question?
This is Alex Carter. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
This is Ivan Carter from Dayton, Ohio.
This is Donald Thompson, calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Amen. We've got a lot going on in Tulsa today, Brother Michal.
A lot going on.
Amen.
Others that we have online tonight? I think you got Eric there, and Jamie is there.
Amen. I want to start our discussion in 2 Timothy tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, 1 through 14. Who do we have? Do we have readers tonight that have Bibles available? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. 1 through 4, yeah, 1 through 15.
I have it. I can read it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through what, Dr. Nooks?
1 through 15.
Okay, it says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." That's a read for you through the Tyndall NIV Bible. Verses 1 through 15. And I would ask as a point of etiquette that those of you on the line, unless you're speaking, will put your phones on mute. And then when you get ready to speak, to take it off of mute. Thank you.
And identify yourself when you get ready to speak so we can know who you are. So 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 15, and I wanted us to focus on verses 8 and 9. And this is addressing the question, why was Paul persecuted? And I'm going to go to another text to give another reason why he was persecuted. But here I want us to look at verse 8 and 9. It says, "Always remember that Jesus Christ, the descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering. And I have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be changed." So why was Paul suffering from our text?
Is it because of Acts 9:39?
I didn't understand you. I'm sorry.
This is Black Gladiator.
Who's speaking?
From out of Washington, D.C. I came up with the alias Black Gladiator from Washington, D.C.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. Is it because of...
Give us your explanation what you think, sir.
Well, I think that when you talk about Paul, he persecuted Christ. So when he persecuted Christ, it says that in Acts 9:3-9, he persecuted him. Is this why he was punished? I'm asking a question. That's what I think.
Paul persecuted the church. And of course, we studied last week about the Damascus Road experience where Paul was converted. And Paul, Jesus spoke to Paul, and Paul accepted Christ. So Paul is now a servant of Christ or a slave of Christ. So instead of persecuting the church, now he is being persecuted. And here we see in the text why he was persecuted. And it's clear that he was persecuted because he was preaching Christ. So those of us that are Christians, the question is, are we being persecuted when we preach Christ? Those that are on the line, do you find yourself, if you are preaching Christ, that you face some persecution or some suffering because you are standing up for Christ? Have you experienced that?
Well, Dr. Susie, I want to throw something. This is Dr. Susie. I want to throw something out. I just have a question, because when we talk about preaching Christ, I think it means, you know, a lot of different things. We're not just talking about preaching in the pulpit. We're talking about in situations like they just had in Tulsa with this man who his car was stalled in the middle of the street, and he went to get help, and then the police actually shot him and killed him in the back. And so I noticed that people on Facebook were just saying, you know, they were given Copernicus. I can never pronounce his name. The football player Copernicus, or what? How you pronounce his name? Copernicus. How you pronounce his name? Somebody. But anyway, the football player.
Kaepernick.
They were giving him a
Kaepernick.
Hard time for.
Kaepernick.
Yeah. They were giving him a hard time for not standing for the flag, and a lot of the Christians were giving him flack for that. And I think when we preach Christ, we also have to understand in our relationship, like many people were saying, well, you know, we have to just pray and we have to trust God. And I believe that. This is Dr. Susie. I advocate that we pray and trust God. But God also tells us to act. And so we have a vote that we can utilize. We have a voice that we can utilize. That Christians are not passive, and according to Marx, we don't have to use our Christianity and our faith just to be complacent and to use it as a means of just.
Hello, Dr. Susie, we lost you. Dr. Susie, we can't hear you. Is everyone else still online?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Dr. Susie was trying to tell us that we as Christians need to take a stand. And here Paul is talking about taking a stand and being persecuted for that. And I was asking those on the line to perhaps look and see, have there been a time when you have been persecuted for standing for Christ? I mean, it doesn't mean that you're preaching for Christ, but trying to do what is right in God's sight.
Well, can I give it a
Well, this is Ali Carter in Cleveland, and I was going to say, in today's society, and things that I run into and see often is not so much as persecution, but more like ridicule. People question why you believe, and they sort of make disparaging remarks about it. You know, and just day to day.
Yes.
Can I give a testimony about how I've been persecuted?
Certainly.
I had to go through it. I had to go through something where Matthew 5:25, where as though the police had persecuted me and the prosecutors tried to persecute me over something that I didn't do. You know, the prosecutor was basically giving me charges, and basically the charges that I was going against was that they asked me what's my name, and I told them, according to Colossians 3:17, my name is, you know, is under Christ, and I'm only able to use Christ's name. And what happened was the police officer got mad because I didn't tell him his name. Like, I didn't tell him the name, the right name that he wanted to hear. I got locked up, and what happened was when I got locked up, the judge was asking me basically, what was my name? And I told him that according to Colossians 3:17, I'm only supposed to use the name of Christ. And I showed him a public law 97-280, which states that the whole Bible is law. And I let him know that, you know, I'm in the territory of Christ. But he persecuted me anyway. He basically was telling me that he didn't believe in scriptures. So I've been persecuted like Jesus before, according to Matthew 5:25.
Okay, well, thank you for your testimony. Okay, Dr. Susie, did you get back in?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we lost you there for a while. Did you want to finish up your thought?
I don't know where you heard me. It just cut off in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Go ahead. I'll catch it again.
Oh, okay. So I want us to go to another text. I want us to go to Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 40. And this is a story of Paul and Silas being imprisoned. But again, we're addressing the issue of why was Paul persecuted? Why did he suffer? What was the reason for it? And the first reason we see that he was persecuted because he was preaching Christ, and Christ being the Son of God. So he was persecuted by the Jews for saying that Jesus was the Son of God and Jesus was God, and he was persecuted by the Gentiles for also preaching Christ, because the Romans didn't want Christ elevated. So he was being persecuted by the Jews and the Gentiles. For different reasons, but I mean, for different perspectives, but it's still the same reason for preaching Christ. But here, we want to look at another reason why he was persecuted. Somebody got Acts 16, verses 16 through 23? If not, I'll read. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 23.
All right. Acts 16:16-23. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by smooth sayings. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us ways of salvation. And this day she many days, but Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of the same hour. Verse 19, and when her master saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught up Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Verse 21, teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Roman. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates went off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Verse 23, and when they had laid many strips upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And again, if there's someone that's not speaking, put your phone on mute so we can all hear clearly. So looking at the reason why Paul was persecuted, what reason can we see here in this text?
He was persecuted because he was Jewish and because of the laws he was teaching was unaccustomed to the way that they were learning.
Okay, and what's another reason why he was persecuted?
Brother Eric, is there other people who want to join in as well? You're on mute. You have to get off mute. Brother Donald?
What did Paul do here when he cast the demon out of the woman? What did he cause to happen?
He caused the spirit to come out of her.
Yes. And then what happened when that? She was a woman that had visions. So she made money for the men that she worked for. So when Paul cast the demon out of the woman, then she no longer had the ability to make money for the men that she worked for. So those men got mad and took Paul and Silas, beat them, and threw them in jail because they lost the source of their money. Now, can you see that? And what does that tell you about money and how the love of money affects our people in the world today?
I thought she threw him in jail because he was a Jew.
If anybody would have cast the demons out of the woman and they lost their money source, they probably would have had them beaten because they were influential people. Is everybody on mute? I'm not hearing from anyone other than
can you hear me?
My brother here.
This is Don Thompson. Could I speak on that?
Yes.
My view on that is I hate to sound a little vulgar, but to have the young brother understand that the woman was a prostitute, and she made money for the guys, and when they cast the demon out of her, and nothing left but the good in her, she had no desire to do that anymore. So they got mad at them, and then to prosecute them, because they took away their money cow. It's just that simple.
Captain, are you there?
Yes. Yes. Look, I'm going to read verse 16 again. She had a spirit that helped her to tell ahead of time what was going to happen. She earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. I'm just trying to get it at the point of why sometimes Paul was persecuted, but why sometimes we may be persecuted also if we stand for Christ.
This is Eric. Dr. Nooks, we're all going to be persecuted if you're standing for Christ, because this is an evil world. And it says that Christ came into this world, the light of the world, and the world could not comprehend the light, and it would not receive its own. So first of all, we must realize that we're in a fallen world that's not going to look for us to be doing what's right. And so if you're standing for Christ, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted by people that are close to you, people who don't know you, people that don't like the way you look, they don't like what you stand for, they don't like what you're doing, because we are in an evil world. This is a fallen world, and it is not going to recognize the Spirit of Christ, the light of Christ, or the love of Christ. And so it's always going to be a battle. And so Paul, who first started persecuting the church and then had his Damascus Road experience, is persecuted as well. And let's be realistic. We are Christians, Christ-like. And if Christ was persecuted, what right do we think that we're not going to be?
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we have some reasons. Someone else want to speak?
Yeah, can I ask about Proverbs 16:4?
What question do you have about Proverbs 16:4?
Well, it says basically, do you think the Most High persecuted Paul because of what he was doing?
The people were persecuting Paul because of what he was doing.
Yeah, but they what they was doing basically, they saying he was doing something evil, and what he believed in was doing something right for Christ. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah.
In Acts 9:3 and 9:4, he said, "Why are you persecuting?" He asked Paul, "Why is he persecuting?"
Yes. That was the Damascus Road experience.
Right, so
and
when
Paul was persecuting him, but after Christ spoke to him, then he received Christ.
What scripture?
We're getting feedback in the line. I'd like for us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If there aren't any other comments on this, question was, why was Paul being persecuted? And I want to get into the text of what Paul says about himself regarding his persecution before he gets to the persecution part. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 33. And I want to read just verses 1 through 4 initially. And it reads this way. I hope you will put up with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. Just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you receive, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. So this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. And Paul is talking to them because he's concerned about the church. And a big reason why Paul was persecuted was because he was concerned about the church. And because he was concerned about the church, he preached the truth. And he was concerned because the people in the church were being corrupted. They were being corrupted because they were hearing and believing something other than Christ. Now today, do we face this same situation, and is there a need for that same call that Paul had to preach the truth to churches because we are hearing other spirits, following other gospels? Is this a problem that we face today in the church? Who do we have online?
Dr. Nooks, this is Eric. Can you repeat that question, please?
I said, the scripture that I read talks about Paul and his concern for the church because they were hearing another gospel. They were hearing, following a different spirit. They were following a different gospel and believing differently than what he had been preaching about. And he was concerned about that. And my question was, is this a problem that we have today in the church? And is there a call for us to stand up for Christ in the midst of that situation? Is this a problem today that we have, same problem that Paul had in the church at Corinth?
This is Eric. Yeah, that's a resounding yes, we have that problem. We have people hearing all kind of different calls. Calls that they think that they hear that they've created themselves. People being in the church and not being there for unity and working on behalf of Christ, but their own agendas, whatever they are. So, that is the issue, and we're supposed to stand up in Christ. But the problem is that in most of our churches, we don't want to be considered outcasts, and so we go along with the program until we can't stand anymore, and then we just leave. We never speak up about what the issue is and about how, you're a church and you're supposed to be following Christ and you're doing everything but that. So, yeah, we have that issue today.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So that brings up a good question, Brother Eric. What does suffering look like today? What does persecution look like today for those that are trying to follow Christ, those that are trying to do the right? What does it look like today?
This is Eric. I think that looks like people trying to destroy your character, trying to destroy any work that you're doing, talking bad about you in the presence of any and everybody without knowing you, without really trying to understand what it is that you're working to get accomplished, people lying on you and telling falsehoods about you in any number of avenues or reasons. Persecution in the church today can come mainly in those forms, and people trying to relegate your work to being nothing because they're trying to elevate themselves. And I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, we talk about, at least I have, what I'm seeing in this world today, and this world is off the chain. I mean, and Paul
Amen.
Talked about the things
Amen.
That it would be. They would be self-lovers. They would have no love. They would have a form of religion, but it wouldn't be of God. And you think about that. You think about seeing that today, how
Amen.
Selfish people are, and how they don't have love for others, and the things that we can just do to each other, not be concerned about it, and say, we may not say we're Christian these days, but we're religious. I'm religious. I'm spiritual. That's the key word these days. I'm spiritual. And you doing the stuff you're doing, I don't want that spirit.
Well, this is Dr. Susie, and I want to share situations that I experienced in that, I was called to go and help a church who could not get a pastor, and they wanted somebody to come in and to help them get through a transition process. When I did what was needed as a part of the training for an intentional interim, then the lady said to me, not to the board chair, that they wanted to get rid of me because I was preaching too much Bible. People tell me that they wouldn't come to the church and stay at the church because the church was such that they didn't want to have the Bible, but they wanted to be more a social institution. And I brought the word, and so people started to come back. And then they asked me to leave, and when they asked me to leave, that wasn't an issue, But the issue is I had a covenant, a contract, but they wouldn't pay the contract. And here it is, 4 months later, they haven't paid it and don't want to pay it, and yet they're blaspheming, defaming all across the Internet, and so much so that a minister from another denomination would call into the region and say, what is this? This is not Christian behavior for people to do a minister like this. However, there are people, because they're haters, would say, ha ha ha, let's go for the kill. But what Christians do, we kill our own. We don't stand for justice. We don't stand for what's right, but we go trying to destroy or allow someone else. I mean, just like Paul. He held the coats. Let's go for it. Let's tear it up. But when we try to stand for religious principles one day, but for the word of God, then that will bring persecution. It will bring trials and tribulations. But when you know, Paul said, when you've been persecuted for Christ's sake, then we can celebrate.
Amen. And thank you for that testimony, Dr. Susan.
Amen.
I want us to look at verses 5 through 10, and that kind of goes along with what Brother Eric was saying and also Dr. Susan, because... what Paul was facing was a people that were being influenced by other preachers. And I equate this to maybe like the televangelists, the people that had the big, huge churches on TV. Somebody would have influence. And Paul was having to now defend himself. And sometimes we get in that position that, you know, who are you? We don't want to listen to you. You know, we can listen to this person over here. And then Paul says in verse 5, but I don't consider myself inferior in any way to these super apostles who teach such things. I may be unskilled as a speaker, but I'm not lacking in knowledge. We have made this clear to you in every possible way. Was I wrong when I humbled myself and honored you by preaching God's good news to you without expecting anything in return? You didn't get paid. I robbed other churches by accepting their contributions so I could serve you at no cost. And when I was with you and didn't have enough to live on, I did not become a financial burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia brought me all that I needed. I have never been a burden to you, and I never will be. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, no one in all of Greece will ever stop me from boasting about this. So walking in the shoes of Paul, how do you think that made Paul feel in this situation here? What we're trying to do is empathize. In other words, we're trying to walk in Paul's shoes so that we can learn from Paul and also learn something about ourselves.
Dr. Nooks, this is Eric.
Yeah.
Dr. Nooks, this is Eric. Let me chime in, brother. There is power in that in that passage. But I submit to the group that Paul knew where his relationship was. So therefore, Paul did not fear death. And I don't know that many of us have that today, because we're not sure what our relationship is, what our relationship is with God. See, at this point, when Paul is writing this, Paul is sure of his relationship with God. He's sure of his relationship in Jesus Christ. And he's standing on that. I'm not so sure that a lot of us are there today. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I think that I am. I want to believe that I am. Do I know 1,000% that I am? No.
Yeah.
But each day that I spend in study, in fellowship, I get a little bit closer. Because ultimately, the thing that should drive a Christian today is that when you depart this plane, you got to have a conversation about who you are and what you've done. And there are no two ways about that. We all got to have that conversation. It says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Now, are you going to be confessing because you've already had a relationship, or are you going to be confessing because now all of a sudden you see all the power of God, but yet it's too late because your name has not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life?
And Brother Amen. Eric, this is Dr. Susie. This is Dr. Susie, but that needs to be real clear is that, you know, all the praying in the world after you pass from this life to the next ain't going to make no difference. I saw people Amen. Praying on Facebook talking about, well, their soul is gone on, let's pray to help them. It's done. Once you transition mm-hmm. from this world to the next, it's done. There's nothing more you can do in this body. You are held accountable for the sins and the rewards that you've done on this side of the Jordan. So you got to get it done before that time occurs. You know?
Amen.
That's absolutely Amen. Correct. But I want our listeners to know that Paul was absolutely sure about his relationship. There was no doubt. He knew where he stood, which means that he could make that. He could make those statements. I'm going to keep doing this no matter what you do to me. I'm going to keep doing this.
Amen.
He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. What, 3 times 39? You know, 40 minus 1, 39 lashes, because he got 40 lashes back in those days. That was right. a disgrace.
Max.
So we got to be sure about our relationship. We got to be sure about our relationships with Jesus.
And,
our relationship
and Brother Eric,
in Jesus, our relationship with God.
And as you're talking about that peace, what we also need to understand is Paul went through something. He messed up. He was the terminator of his day. But he found grace with God that gave him total forgiveness and a brand new start. It doesn't Amen. Matter where you are on the totem pole of life. You can have a brand new start today. And when you get that new start, you're no less than me. We're all equal in the sight of God. And so Paul chose to walk in a way that would give him a relationship with God that as Eric said, he could stand on and knew that he had what he needed to have with the Lord, and he didn't have to fear. And so for you Amen. And I tonight, we have to understand what it's like to go from being a persecutor, somebody who was enemies with God, somebody who was not in relationship with God, to someone who God is inviting into relationship and has brought and tried to do a ministry of reconciliation with, and then chose to then become a conqueror of this life by the way we walk and talk and lead our lives. We fall short. But when we fall down, we get back up. And we don't give up. We don't stop. We keep going no matter what. Because the only issue we have to fight is fear itself. And then we just go on through to the other side of that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Paul was assured of who he was and where he was going. He had an experience on the Damascus Road, and that changed his life. That changed his purpose. And when we have an experience with Christ, and some people have a gradual experience, some people don't hear an audible voice from Christ like Paul did. But it's like Eric was talking about, as you grow in Christ, there should be a growth in your ability to stand and your strength and your determined, your resolve to do that which is pleasing to Christ, even if people don't like you, even if people persecute you. And we want to read again about those persecutions, and then we want to ask some questions about persecution today. Starting at the 23rd verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, does somebody else want to read? If not, I will go ahead and read. I read it before. It said, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Often, once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray, and I don't burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I am not lying. What does that say to you about suffering?
This is Britt.
Yes, Britt.
Paul is telling us exactly what he has gone through in order to try and help these churches and stuff. And we as ministers, and we have to go through some kind of suffering our own selves. It may be that our own relatives and stuff do not believe that we are actually ministers, or they choose to ignore it, or there's always a negative comment, or they overlook you when something happens in the family and they look for somebody else. But there are certain things that happen to each and every one of us. We all go through our own suffering, as Paul did. Dr. Susie has gone through it with the church that she tried to serve, doing what God called her to do. But this only strengthens her in her resolve for her next task that God has for her. Just like all of us, we all have to go through something in order for us to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. And that's what Paul's telling us. He's telling everybody, this is what I have suffered for you. And he's trying to get their attention so that they know that he is there for them. And then we'll see how things play out in the next chapter.
Amen. Paul was embarrassed to talk about this. He kept saying, this is foolish. I don't really want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it because the church was being swayed, and I don't think they respected him. And so I don't know about many of you on the line, but sometimes we're not respected, and we're not.
Amen.
He talked about dealing with people that said that they were believers, but they were not. And this is a big problem in the church, because it seems like we say we're the church of Christ and we should be praying people, but on most occasions we fall back on our humanity in making decisions. We fall back on our humanity and deciding what we're going to do in the church, and deciding who's going to be the pastor, and deciding how we're going to serve people. And a lot of times it's like that situation of the people that had the woman that told the future. We want money, and money drives us to do so much. And Paul is saying here, look at what I suffered. It's not about money. I've given my life. I've given my time. I've given up, you know, I've been cold. To be beat with the whip was not just a whip like we see today. But those whips had bone chips and metal in them, and it ripped your flesh apart. to be beaten by a rod. That's a solid steel rod, y'all.
Right.
These kind of things, in many cases, would kill somebody. And just like Brother Eric was saying, Paul was willing. He was really willing to die. He had no fear of death. But Dr. Susie talked about it before, about our fear. And because of our fear, it limits our ministry. And we're trying to walk in the shoes of Paul here. And I guess we need to look at, and Brett began talking about it, but what are we inspired to do? What are we willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? I mean, and that's, I guess that's a personal question that we need to ask ourselves. But it does beg the question, what should we be doing as Christians for the cause of Christ if we're going to walk in the shoes of Paul? So what does Paul's life of suffering say to you, and what do you have to say to maybe our listeners, those that are on the call, that could maybe help them in their walk with Christ, because they may be suffering some persecution right now? What would you say to them today?
This is Eric. I would tell them, just hold on to God's unchanging hand. I mean, if our Lord and Savior had to be persecuted and was, we're going to face the same thing. But when we commend our spirits and our minds and our hearts to Christ, He gives us the strength to go through it. I mean, even Paul had a thorn in his side, they called it, in his flesh, and he asked three times that it be removed. And the Lord told him His grace was sufficient. Stephen, being stoned, looked up and said to God, don't hold this against them, don't charge them. Even Christ on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's not easy, brothers and sisters. I mean, that's not easy. You don't get there by attending a Sunday service and a Wednesday Bible study. That takes time of spending in prayer and in relationship and reading God's words and hymns and songs and small group discussions and asking every day that God give me the strength to be as You would have me to be, because I know what I am. You got to be honest about it. You got to know who you are and what you are. And you've got to ask God to give you the strength and courage to be what it is that He needs you to be, so that people can see His love in you. And even when you fall, because we're going to fall, you get up, you confess that you fail with all sincerity of heart, and you turn from it, and you try all over again. But you can't give up. And you got to know, and Dr. Nooks and group, I guess I would really say this. You got to know that you're not in it by yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Brett, I still to this day, every time I think back to when you tell that story, when you was going through something and you were sitting out there, and then people said, well, I saw, you and your friend out there. And you was like, what friend? I was out there by myself. They saw Christ
Right.
You wasn't there by yourself. And if we are true Christians and we're following that, God will be with us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are there others on the line that would like to share something with those that may be listening in about that may be going through some persecution or suffering for the cause of Christ? Who else do we have on the line? We have Brother Carter, was it?
Brother Carter may be at work, I think, isn't he?
He is at work. Who's next?
Was it Brother Thomas?
If nobody's volunteering, we can just go ahead and have a call for a praise request or praise report, prayer request or praise report.
This is Brett. I got one other thing. I'm sorry that I came on late, but I was at VA. I had a test going on. But I looked at this when I read it yesterday as a way that Paul was actually spanking the churches simply because they were not following what God wanted them to do. It's just like those of us that have grown kids. We can't physically spank them, but we can spank them with words that will get to their heart, that will open up their minds, hopefully, so they can see a different path to take or something that we're trying to get them to do. And I think this is the way that God put it into Paul, so that he had to put his pride to the side so that he could say what he had to say so people could understand exactly his sacrifices that he made for these churches. Now, that's the other way that I looked at it. I may be wrong, but somebody correct me.
Amen. They needed to see what he had done. Amen. I asked for prayer, Dr. Susie, for my granddaughter, my grandson, and my daughter.
Okay, it's now open for prayer, praise requests, and praise requests. I'd like to lift up right now, Christopher Christian Church, I'd like to lift up many people who are on the line who have need of funds, finances, food, their bills paid, people who are struggling that don't have a seat. I lift up the family of the Crutcher family in Tulsa, where the man was shot in the back. It's so much that's happening in our world right now. It's very overwhelming. And I just ask God's blessing on those who are striving to walk in the way. The young man who was killed was 40. He was going to Tulsa Junior College to better his life and music. He wanted to cut an album with his father, who was a minister. He was a choir person, he a PK kid, had four children. There's so many people who are struggling with this as happens over and over and over again. Cassandra from Franklin asked us to pray for Mr. and Mrs. Kendall and Cassandra and Gerald Linder. If there's anybody else on the line who needs prayer, I ask prayer for myself and my son, who's in college and trying to do schoolwork. My daughter, who's at work, I ask for myself as I'm looking for a vocation, another ministry endeavor to serve the Lord. And I have a temporary student position that I have to undergo for a year, and I just ask prayer for that. But in the meantime, the sustenance and a way to survive while I'm in the midst of that. Asking as well for blessings for those who are not on the line, for Dr. William Edwards, who is leading the region of Ohio, who has assembly this week starting Thursday night, asking for prayer for that. Asking for Shawnette Brown and thanking God for the miracle of healing for Mark Bryant. Asking blessings and prayers for Lester Carver, as he is engaged in business endeavors that need to be come to fruition. We ask as well for those of you on the line tonight that are also undergoing situations and circumstances on your job where we have had persecuted, but yet God is still in the blessing business. He has not left us nor forsaken us. And so we just trust God to bring the victory in our lives as we go through, because we're not finished. We're not just going to stop in the middle of going. We're going to go through to the other side.
Amen.
Brother Eric, are you there?
Yeah, this is Eric. I'm asking prayer for my daughter. she has gone to the doctor and they have found a pretty large lump in her breast. We don't know what it is. They're going to do a mammogram and an ultrasound on Friday. And then it's going to take a couple of days to get the results back from that. And needless to say, she's a little bit undone. But I try to tell her that no sense in worrying about something we don't know what the issue is. So let's find out what it is first, and then we'll deal with it. But prayer that all will be well, and prayer that her spirit will calm. And we know that God is able to do all things, and his will Amen. Be done in the lives of his children. We may not understand how and why, but I'm a living witness that I know it will be done. So for her and for my wife, as she tries to comfort her, Michelle, at this particular point in time, and also for my in-laws and their health, because their health is getting bad, so the young family.
Well, I was going to ask you to close us in prayer, Brother Eric, and lift up prayer for our country and our president, our president, and that the evil that's rampant in the country would not prevail, but that there would be a halt on it, that the angels of the Lord would be sent forth to stop this chaos, and that God would say enough is enough.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we the humble servants take this opportunity to come before your throne of mercy this day, Father, only because Jesus gives us the right to do so in his death and resurrection. He paid the ultimate price that we who are sinners have the right to come before your righteous throne, and that you would see his sacrifice and look through our faults to see our needs and provide for your children. Because of Jesus' act, he made us the sons and daughters of God. So we come before you, knowing that the Father would not withhold the good gift for his children. We come asking for the prayers of those that have been lifted up in their needs, whether it be food or shelter, whether it be vocation, whether it be spiritual healing, physical healing, whether it be stillness of mind, whatever it is, Father, whether it be loss of loved ones and we need comfort. I don't know all their needs, Father. I can't even call all their names, the feeble person that I am. But I know that we bring all of those petitions to you, Father. We bring them in a blanket, Father, for we just want to intercede, because we know that you already know the needs, and we know that you've already worked it out. We may not see it in our realm because we lack the faith to do so, but I know that you have already accounted for it. For before you even started, it was already finished. So, Father, have your hand upon our lives. Have your words in our hearts, that we may be moved to come out of the darkness of this world, Father, and stand up to be light. For the scripture says, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You put it out where it can be seen. And we know that light cuts through the darkness, and the darkness cannot stand in the light. So let us who call ourselves Christians, Father, come out of the darkness and into the light, Father, so that we may save our world. For this is a wicked place, Lord God Almighty. We know that people are self-lovers. We know that they don't care about the issues of others. Greed is run rampant. There is no love for mankind and our fellow brothers and sisters, and sometimes even in our own families, Lord. People killing people to be killing people. People killing people and lying about why they did it. Not being held accountable, yes. Father. And the blood runs in the streets. And it's enough, Father. We see that it's enough, Father, but when will we stand up? Because you're not going to move if we are not going to move. We are your hands and feet in this world. And you've got to strengthen us, Father. You've got to call us out. You've got to talk to us, Father. For there are some of us that are obedient and we hear you, Lord. Help us to get the words to the others, Father, through studies like this and through our own personal relationships as we walk in our vocations and in our families and in our communities each day, Lord. I understand that it's not easy, but you didn't give your children a spirit of fear. You gave them one of power and love. And let us call on that. And let us not call on it in our own selfishness, but let us call on it in a righteous way to serve you. Let us be your reflection to this world, because what this world needs is love, and it needs the love of Jesus Christ. And the only way that those who do not know Jesus is going to see Jesus is through those of us who know you.
Yeah.
So, Lord, I could never come up with all the right words. I could never expect that you would hear anything that I would say. But Christ tells us that when we pray in his name,
yes,
that you are faithful to hear us, that you will move accordingly. And that when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit intervenes,
yes,
on our behalf. So we're calling on the Holy Spirit. We're calling on Jesus to intervene, Father, so that your will be done. Until we have to stand before you and give an account, Lord, we are placed here to do your will and your work. Strengthen us to do so, that all the power, honor, and glory will go to you, because it is of you who created this world and breathed the breath of life into man and brought us back to you with the blood of Christ.
Yes.
I ask that all who are here and all those who want to be here and all those in the world who are Christians will humble ourselves before you and pick up our cross and walk as you have instructed us. For it is in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
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 Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.